this incredible photograph, which I want you to explain how it was found, what you think it is, and then I'll ask you some astounding questions about it.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank Mike Barra, who did yeoman service in putting up a brief excerpt from a forthcoming book that he and I are publishing with a little help from our publisher. And there's a link on the enterprise.com website to our publisher. And what we want is when everyone looks at this image and the context of the image, we want you to email the publisher because he's claiming he only can publish it next year. We want it out this year.
Right.
This is too hot to sit on. It's too important politically. It answers the huge question, why are we suddenly out of left field going back to the moon at warp 9? And what we have found, George, little drum roll there. We found in a photograph from Apollo 17 taken in December of 1972, 30 plus years ago, we found a robot head on the moon.
A robot head.
It's the size of a human head. It is clearly robotic. It has somehow been severed from its body. Its eyes are wide open. And as you know, I have compared in front of you and I've compared on the website, it looks eerily like C-3PO.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
To the iris in the head.
See, that's what's so phenomenal, because I know it was not a living being, because a living being exposed to a vacuum, I mean, everyone has seen Total Recall, you know what happens when the air pressure goes down and all that. This thing is a mechanical man. It's like the robot from Dorothy, except it looks like C-3PO. And the key is the eyes, because those eyes are irises. They are mechanical irises that obviously, when it was alive or energized, would open and close to simulate the irises in our human eyes or any other organism's eyes. And my question when I first realized what I was looking at was, how the heck did George Lucas know?
Yeah.
Because C-3PO, you know, is an identical clone to this
thing.
Yes,
it is.
Lying there on its side in the harsh lunar sunlight in the bottom of this 300-foot-wide crater called Shorty Crater, photographed just before Gene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt got back in the lunar module, went back to lunar orbit, rendezvoused with the command module, and came home, the last human beings for over 30 years to set foot on the moon.
Do you think those two astronauts even saw that object, that head, that structure, or they merely took this panoramic picture and went back?
The honest answer is, I don't know, yet. If they didn't, if we spent all that treasure and went to the moon and didn't see this and bring it home, this is a national tragedy bar none. This would be such a sad event if we got that close to the holy grail of the entire space program and did not see this. They did not bring it home. My suspicion is, and that's based on a lot of years, George, as you know, I've been looking at NASA and looking at what they say and what they do and what we have leaked to us. My suspicion is they knew something like this was there. The Apollo 17 mission's raison d'etre for landing in this site was this or something very close to it. And the reason for that suspicion is the landing site, George, was at 19.5 degrees.
Oh, my. Now, I've got three thoughts on this picture after I saw it when you were showing it to all of us that night in Joshua Tree. First of all, I'm convinced it is not a natural rock or structure on the moon.
When I showed this at CPAC, which was the conference
this weekend,
a week after Joshua Tree, not one of the attendees, not one of the scientists, not one of the presenters said to me, you're nuts. All of them, I mean, Bob Schock, Dr. Robert Schock, who's an esteemed geologist at Boston University, he sat next to me at the book signing. He says, that was the most phenomenal thing you have ever presented to anyone in your entire career.
It is more startling to me than Cydonia. And even though I love Mars and I love Cydonia and I love the possible mysteries of what that could be in that whole area, this looks so artificial. And it's just plopped down there in that crater.
Now, we've only begun the analysis. I found this within the last several weeks. It took a lot of willpower, George, not to show you and tell you.
I know that.
And I didn't even show my colleague. For instance, we have a very esteemed colleague, Steve Troy. who has worked with me for years and years and years, and Mike and some of the other folks, he has done the lunar work from the analog side. What he does is he orders the actual negatives and film and print for NASA.
And he gets the, that's what we're looking at, right?
Well, what happened is I found this on the Apollo Lunar Science Surface Project website. I then asked Steve, without telling him why, to order specific Hasselblad frame numbers from NASA. He got two initially. He got a lot more later, and I have those literally with me. I have not had a chance to look at them. But he got two overlapping frames of Shorty Crater in a physical film form. He sent those to me as a high-scanned TIFF file.
Okay.
I was then able to put those two images together, supering the one image over the other image, thereby reducing the noise and bringing out the signal. And that's when those incredible iris eyes popped out.
Well, even without the iris eyes, it looks pretty cool.
Because there's this band around the neck, brilliant anodized red, lying on this metallic-looking aluminum steel head.
And it's got everything but the jaw.
Everything but
jaw.
The jaw. You know. And when you look at how C-3PO was constructed by the special effects guys that Lucas hired, they did an exact similar mechanical reproduction.
Right.
Even to the disconnecting jaw and how the head set. Remember in one of the films, C-3PO lost his head and it was clamped
He was in that factory or something.
Right, he was in it was clamped onto some other robot body.
Yeah.
This mimics exactly. And yet it's an actual photograph taken by Harrison Schmitt. I forget exactly what the date was. I think it was December 7th, 8th, something like that, of 1972, just before they had to leave and come home. Well, it's been lying in an archive for over 30 years. I sent this to one of the astronauts who I know as a test because I wanted him to open doors and get me to better resolution imagery. His response was fascinating. This is when I knew we were really onto it. He said, "Dick, I'm basically too busy, but when you get a better version, show it to me." And I knew he was telling me between the lines, A, I wasn't nuts, B, he'd seen it before, A, B, C, C, there was a higher resolution
somewhere,
and I had to go find it.
And you will.
And, well, we now have it. We have eight more versions of this.
All right.
There is no doubt we have stereo, which we're prepping now. And the thing that this leads us to is, who was this? What is it doing on the moon right next door? What is it doing at the base of a ruined arcology at 19.5 degrees.
Where's the rest of the body?
Where's the rest of the body? What happened to it? How many others were there? Think of that scene in iRobot, of that vast sea of all those guys standing there. Mike actually also did a comparison with the head of the iRobot robots, and it looks eerily similar.
It looks like it was blown up.
Exactly.
And the head was
It looks
was
like, and the head, of course, being massive and dense.
Yeah.
But the thing that really turns me on is to imagine if we brought it home, or one like it, and we plugged it into the right computer system.
Would it work?
What would it say?
Would it work?
Was it artificial intelligence? Was it a conscious being waiting in now this suspended animation, this limbo, when the power suddenly got turned off? If we could bring it home and energize it, what could it tell us about the history of the solar system, the history of whoever else is out there, how human beings interacted with this species?